This is part two of activity two of true prayer. Activity two was acknowledging the work and worth of God in praise and worship. And I mentioned last time that often in my prep and thinking through this, I realized that there's more that I'd like to say. And I think this is a worthwhile little detour from the third activity in thinking about praising God. Because if you're anything like me, you will resonate with this. You might remember that we looked at Hebrews 13, verse 15, which tells us, through him then, through Jesus, let us continually offer up a sacrifice of praise to God, that is the fruit of lips that acknowledge his name. I did not emphasize an important thing here, though. Did you notice how often God commands us to praise? That's right. It says, continually. Praise is not something we only do when life is going well, but at all times. This is clearly echoed in 1 Thessalonians 5, verse 18, where it says, give thanks in all circumstances, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus for you. We offer praise and thanksgiving through Jesus, because it is God's will in Christ Jesus. That is all to say that praise is not an option for Christians. It's not something you can pick and choose to do or not. It is a duty and a calling. Let me say that again. Praise is not an option for Christians. It is a duty and a calling. Now let me ask you, does that strike you as odd, like it struck me? Does that sound cold? I feel this run against my own heart, which says I should only praise when I feel like it. Yet the Bible clearly calls each Christian to praise at all times and in all circumstances, to continually offer praise. If this is your experience, it is because you and I have been discipled by our culture, and we desperately need God's word to renew our minds. In his book on praying, Packer deals with this aspect of praise being a duty. He states that praise is a duty and a delight, or more accurately, as we're going to see here, a duty that leads to delight. Psalm 42 helpfully highlights this for us. So please turn to Psalm 42. I want this to be a familiar passage to you. So if you're there, you can pause this. But Psalm 42, starting in verse 1, maybe you're aware of these opening verses. You've heard these before. As a deer pants for flowing streams, so pants my soul for you, O God. My soul thirsts for God, for the living God. When shall I come and appear before God? This powerful prayer of longing for God is not followed with delight, but tears in verse 3. And the psalmist saying to himself, why are you downcast, O my soul? He says this in verse 5 and in verse 11. These are words that long to delight in praising God. But in the midst of this sorrow, notice what he is doing in verse 4. These things I remember as I pour out my soul, how I would go to the throng and lead them in procession in the house of God with glad shouts of and songs of praise, a multitude-keeping festival. What is he doing? He is remembering praising God. Then he states his hope as he talks to himself, and notice that he is counseling himself with the truth. In verse 5, then in verse 11, says the same thing. Hope in God, for I shall again praise him, my salvation and my God. The psalmist is not praising God out of delight, but as a duty. And now he seeks to bring himself to delight by remembering and hoping in God. Dear brother and sister, in this world, we will experience times like this. There'll be times when praise will feel like duty. But if God created us to praise and he commands it of us, then why is this the case? Right? Isn't that the question that comes to your mind? Why would this happen? And the problem is this. We are fallen creatures. Packer very helpfully describes sin as the anti-God allergy. The effect of sin is that we are self-focused. And even though for Christians, sin has been dethroned, it still affects us. This explains why praising is hard at times. Praise is God-centered. And the anti-God allergy, which has our focus on ourselves, still remains to various degrees. And to the extent we are shaped by sin, the harder praise will be a delight. But this is not the complete reality for Christians. As Martin Luther once helpfully said, he said, Christians are sinners and saints. We have been born again and given new hearts that actually do love God. This is the reality of every Christian. That love may not be strong, but it will be true and growing over time. This is strongly stated in Galatians 5:17, which says, "For the desires of the flesh are against the spirit, and the desires of the spirit are against the flesh, for these are opposed to each other to keep you from doing the things you want to do." Did you catch that? Please let me state something that's been so helpful for my life. The normal Christian life is that there are two desires at war within you, those of the spirit and those of the flesh. This conflict within you, far from being evidence that you are not a Christian, as it is often felt, is clear evidence that you have the Holy Spirit working within you. It is as we walk by the Spirit that the delight will grow, as we put to death sin by the power of the Spirit. So why persist in the midst of feelings of praise being duty? Why would God command us to praise him even when we don't feel like it? The answer Packer gives is profound, and he's taking this from C.S. Lewis as well, and you'll hear that in this quote. Why do we praise God in the midst of duty? So that we may get into the habit of doing what in heaven we will do spontaneously and wholeheartedly in and from and for enjoyment of God. God's joy and our joy in our praising will then coincide. Lewis knew what performing the duty of praise may be for the moment and may bring us little or no delight. Just as the five-finger exercises prescribed to budding pianists are ordinarily felt as a joyless bore. Nevertheless, he says, and this is Lewis, the duty exists for the delight. We are like people digging channels in the waterless land in order that when at last water comes, it may find them ready. And these are happy moments even now when a trickle of water creeps along the dry beds, and happy the souls to whom this happens often. End quote. In this way, praise is duty that leads to delight. It is preparing us for eternity. I love those words that it's preparing us to do what we will spontaneously and wholeheartedly do in heaven without the restriction of any desire of the flesh. Praise God. Doesn't that just make you want to say, "Come, Lord Jesus, come"? Brother and sister, I hope this helps you in these days when your heart feels cold toward God. May we praise God simply because He has told us to, and may it lead us to a heartfelt praise. In those darker days, I would encourage you to turn to Psalm 42 and to speak the truth to yourself. As we look forward, we'll actually get to our next activity now of prayer, which will be admitting sin and seeking pardon. And I trust that I'm going to be encouraged as I think through this and study this, and that you will be from the fruit of it. God bless you.